The following is a free-for-download audiobook available on Google Drive. The Nectar of Devotion, Chapter 26, Stimulation for Ecstatic Love. Some things that give impetus for or stimulation to ecstatic love of Krishna are his transcendental qualities, his uncommon activities, his smiling features, his apparel and garlands, his flute, his buffalo horn, his leg bells, his conch shell, his footprints, his places of pastimes, such as Vrindavan, his favorite plant, Tulsi, his devotees, and the periodical occasions for remembering him. One such occasion for remembrance is Ekadasi, which comes twice a month on the 11th day of the moon, both waxing and waning. On that day, all the devotees remain fasting throughout the night and continuously chant the glories of the Lord. Krishna's transcendental qualities, his uncommon activities, and his smile. As far as Krishna's transcendental qualities are concerned, they can be divided into three groups: qualities pertaining to his transcendental body, qualities pertaining to his transcendental speech, and qualities pertaining to his transcendental mind. Krishna's age, his transcendental bodily features, his beauty, and his mildness are qualities pertaining to his body. There is no difference between Krishna and his body, and therefore the transcendental features pertaining to his body are the same as Krishna himself. But because these qualities stimulate the devotee's ecstatic love, they have been analyzed as separate causes of that love. To be attracted by the qualities of Krishna means to be attracted by Krishna himself, because there is no real distinction between Krishna and his qualities. Krishna's name is also Krishna. Krishna's fame is also Krishna. Krishna's entourage is also Krishna. Krishna and everything related with Krishna that gives stimulation to love of Krishna are all Krishna, but for our understanding, these items may be considered separately. Krishna is the reservoir of all transcendental pleasure. Therefore, the impetuses to love of Krishna, although seemingly different, are not actually distinct from Krishna himself. In the technical Sanskrit terms, such qualities as Krishna's name and fame are accepted as both as reservoirs of and as stimulation for love of Krishna. Krishna's age is considered in three periods. From his appearance day to the end of his fifth year is called Kumar. From the beginning of his sixth year up to the end of his 10th year is called Paganda, and from the 11th year to the end of the 15th year is called Kishor. After the beginning of the 16th year, Krishna is called a Yavana, or youth, and this continues with no change. As far as Krishna's transcendental pastimes are concerned, they are mostly executed during the Kumar, Paganda, and Kishor periods. His affectionate pastimes with his parents are executed during his Kumara age. His friendship with the cowherd boys is exhibited during the Paganda age, and his friendship with the gopis is exhibited during the age of Kishor. Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan are finished by the end of his 15th year, and then he is transferred to Mathura and Dwarka, where all other pastimes are performed. Srila Rupa Goswami gives us a vivid description of Krishna as the reservoir of all pleasure in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Here are some parts of that description. Krishna's Kishor age may be divided into three parts. In the beginning of his Kishor age, that is, at the beginning of his 11th year, the luster of his body becomes so bright that it becomes an impetus for ecstatic love. Similarly, there are reddish borders around his eyes and the growth of soft hairs on his body. In describing this early stage of his Kishor age, Kundalata, one of the residents of Vrindavan, said to her friend, quote, "My dear friend, I have just seen an extraordinary beauty appearing in the person of Krishna. His blackish bodily hue appears just like the Indranila jewel. There are reddish signs on his eyes, and small, soft hairs are coming out on his body. The appearance of these symptoms has made him extraordinarily beautiful." End quote. In this connection, in the 10th canto, 21st chapter, verse 5 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami tells King Parikshit, Quote, "My dear king, I shall try to describe how the minds of the gopis became absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. The gopis would meditate on Krishna's dressing himself just like a dancing actor and entering the forest of Vrindavan, marking the ground with his footprints. They meditated on Krishna's having a helmet with a peacock feather and wearing earrings on his ears and yellow gold colored garments covered with jewels and pearls. They also meditated on Krishna's blowing his flute and on all the coward boys singing of the glories of the Lord," end quote. That is the description of the meditation that the gopis used to perform. Sometimes the gopis would think about his soft nails, his moving eyebrows, and his teeth, which were catechu colored from chewing pan. One description was given by a gopi to her friend, quote, "My dear friend, just see how the enemy of Aga has assumed such wonderful features. His brows are just like the bow of Cupid, and they are moving just as though they were dancing. The tips of his nails are so soft, it is as if they were dried bamboo leaves. His teeth are reddish, and so it appears that he has assumed a feature of anger. Under the circumstances, what is the chance for a young girl not to be attracted by such beautiful features and not to be afraid of becoming a victim of to such beauty?" End quote. Krishna's attractive features are also described by Vrinda, the gopi after whom Vrindavan was named. She told Krishna, quote, "My dear Madhava, your newly invented smile has so captivated the hearts of the gopis that they are simply unable to express themselves. As such, they have become bewildered and will not talk with others. All of these gopis have become so affected that it is as if they had offered three sprinkles of water upon their lives. In other words, they have given up all hope for their living condition," end quote. According to the Indian system, when a person is dead, there is a sprinkling of water on the body. Thus, the statement of Vrinda shows that the gopis were so enchanted by the beauty of Krishna that because they could not express their minds, they had decided to commit suicide. When Krishna arrived at the age of 13 to 14 years, his two arms and chest assumed an unspeakable beauty, and his whole form became simply enchanting. When Krishna attained 13 years of age, his two thighs were challenging the trunks of elephants. His rising chest was trying to come to peace talks with doors of jewels, and his two arms were minimizing the value of the bolts found on doors. Who can describe the wonderful beauty of these features of Krishna? The special feature of Krishna's body was his mild smiling, his restless eyes, and his world-enchanting songs. These are the special features of this age. There is a statement in this connection that Krishna, on arriving at this age, manifested such beautiful bodily features that his restless eyes became the playthings of Cupid and his mild smile resembled the newly grown lotus flower. The enchanting vibration of his songs became a great impediment to the young girls who were supposed to remain chaste and faithful to their husbands. At this age, Krishna enjoyed the Rasa Leela, exhibiting his power of joking with the cowherd girls and enjoying their company in the bushes of the gardens by the banks of the Yamuna. In this connection, there is the following statement, quote, "Throughout the whole tract of land known as Vrindavan, there were the footprints of Krishna and the gopis, and in some places peacock feathers were strewn about. In some places there were nice beddings in the bushes of the Vrindavan gardens, and in some places there were piles of dust due to the group dancing of Govinda and the gopis," end quote. These are some of the features which are due to the different pastimes invented by Krishna in the place known as Vrindavan. There is the following statement by one gopi describing Krishna's attractive feature during this age. Quote, "My dear friend, just see how all of a sudden in the sky of Krishna there is a powerful rising sun and how this rising sun is minimizing the rays of our chastity moon. Our attraction for Krishna is so intense that it is drying up the lotus flower of our discrimination, and we are losing our senses in deciding whether we shall continue as chaste women or be victimized by the beauty of Krishna. My dear friend, I think we have lost all hope of life, end quote. In the Kishore age, beginning from the 11th year and continuing up to the end of the 15th year, Krishna's arms, legs, and thighs became marked with three divisional lines. At that time, Krishna's chest challenged a hill of Marakata jewels, his arms challenged pillars of the Indranila jewel, and the three lines of his waist challenged the waves of the river Jamuna, and his thighs challenged beautiful bananas. One gopi said, quote, with all these exquisite features of his body, Krishna is too extraordinarily beautiful, and therefore I am thinking of him to protect me, because he is the killer of all demons, end quote. The idea expressed in this statement is that the gopis were comparing their attraction to Krishna, for Krishna, to an attack by demons. And to counteract their attraction for the beauty of Krishna, they were also turning to Krishna, hopefully, because he is the killer of all kinds of demons. In other words, they were perplexed, because on one hand they were attracted by the beauty of Krishna, and on the other hand, they needed Krishna to drive away the demon of such attraction. This Kishore age can be translated as adolescence. At the end of this period, all the gopis said, quote, Krishna is the killer of the attraction of Cupid, and as such, he disturbs the patience of all newly married girls. Krishna's bodily features have become so exquisite, as it is if they were manifesting an artistic delight, a sense of the highest sort. His dancing eyes have dimmed the brilliance of the most dancing expert dancer, and so there is no longer any comparison to the beauty of Krishna, end quote. Learned scholars therefore describe the features of his body at this time as Navayavana, or newly invented youthfulness. At this stage of Krishna's bodily features, the conjugal love affairs with the gopis and similar pastimes become very prominent. There are six features of conjugal love affairs called peacemaking, picking a quarrel, going to meet one's lover, sitting together, separation, and support. Lord Krishna expanded an empire of these six features in which he was the ruling prince. Somewhere he was picking quarrels with the young girls. Somewhere he was scratching them with the nails of his parrots. Somewhere he was busy going to visit the gopis. And somewhere he was negotiating through cowherd friends to take shelter of the gopis. Some of the gopis addressed him thus, quote, Dear Krishna, because of your adolescent age, you have just become the spiritual master of these young girls, and you are teaching them to whisper among themselves. You are teaching them to offer solemn prayers, as well as training them to cheat their husbands and to join you in the gardens at night without caring for the instructions of their superiors. You are enthusing them by the vibration of your enchanting flute, and as their teacher, you are teaching them all the intricacies of loving affairs, end quote. It is said that even when Krishna was a boy of five, he manifested such youthful energies, but learned scholars do not explain them because of the absence of suitable age. Krishna was so beautiful because every part of his body was perfectly arranged without any defect. Such perfect bodily features of Krishna are described as follows. My dear enemy of Kamsa, your broad eyes, your rising chest, your two pillar-like arms, and the thin middle portion of your body are always enchanting to every lotus-eyed, beautiful girl. End quote. The ornaments on the body of Krishna are not actually enhancing his beauty, but it just the reverse. The ornaments were beautified by Krishna. A person is called mild because, or when he cannot even bear the touch of the most soft thing. It is described that every part of Krishna's body was so soft that even the touch of newly grown leaves, the color of the touched part of his skin would change. At this Kishore age, Krishna's endeavors were always bent toward arranging the rasa dance as well as to killing the demons in the forest of Vrindavan. While Krishna was engaged in enjoying with the boys and girls within the forest of Vrindavan, Kamsa used to send his associates to kill Krishna, and Krishna would show his prowess by killing them. Krishna's apparel and garlands. Generally, there are four kinds of garments on the body of Krishna: his shirt, turban, belt, and wearing garments. In Vrindavan, he used to put on reddish garments with a golden shirt on his body and an orange-colored turban on his head. The different kinds of belts, combined with his enchanting smile, used to always increase the transcendental bliss of his associates. This dress of Krishna is described as gorgeous. As a baby elephant is sometimes dressed in colorful clothing, so Krishna's gorgeousness was manifested by decoration with such colorful clothing on the different parts of his body. A kalpa refers to the texture of Krishna's hair. His nicely dressed body, anointed with sandalwood pulp and decorated with flower garlands, his tilak, and his chewing pan. Krishna was decorated constantly in this akalpa process. Krishna's hair was sometimes decorated with flowers placed in the middle of his head, and or else it was reaching down to his back. The way Krishna dressed his hair differently at different times. As the ointment for the ointment on his body, the pulp of sandalwood generally appeared to be white, and when it was mixed with saffron dye, it appeared to be yellow. Krishna used to put a Vajayanti garland around his neck. This Vajayanti garland is made of flowers of at least 5 different colors. Such a garland was always long enough to touch Krishna's knees or feet. Besides this garland of flowers, there were other kinds of flower garlands too, sometimes decorating his head, sometimes hanging around his neck and chest. Artistic paintings with sandalwood pulp and colored sandalwood are also to be found on the body of Krishna. One gopi addressed her friend and began to praise the bodily features of Krishna. She praised his blackish complexion. The reddish color of chewing pan enhanced his beauty hundreds of times. The curling hair on his head, the kumkum red spots on his body, and the tilak on his forehead. Kumkum is a sweetly flavored reddish powder that is thrown on the bodies of worshipable persons. His helmet, his earrings, his necklace, his four garments, the bangles on his head, the rings on his finger, his ankle bells, and his flute. These are the different features of Krishna's ornaments. Krishna, the enemy of Aga, always looked beautiful with his incomparable helmet, his earrings made of diamonds, his necklace of pearls, his bangles, his embroidered garments, and the beautiful rings on his fingers. Krishna is sometimes called Vanamali. Vana means forest, and Mali means gardener, so Vanamali refers to one who extensively uses flowers and garlands on different parts of his body. Krishna was dressed like this not only in Vrindavan, but also on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Seeing such colorful dress and the garlands of different flowers, some great sages prayed, quote, "Lord Krishna was going on to the battlefield of Kurukshetra not to fight, but to grace all the devotees with his presence," end quote. Krishna's flute. As far as his flute is concerned, it is said that the vibration of this wonderful instrument was able to break the meditation of the greatest sages. Krishna was thus challenging Cupid by advertising his transcendental glories all over the world. There are 3 kinds of flutes used by Krishna. One is called Venu, one is called Murali, and the third is called Vamsi. Venu is not very small, not more than 6 inches long, with 6 holes for whistling. Murali is about 18 inches long with a hole at the end and 4 holes on the body of the flute. This kind of flute produces a very enchanting sound. The Vamsi flute is about 15 inches long with 9 holes on its body. Krishna used to play on these 3 flutes occasionally when they were needed. Krishna has a longer Vamsi, which is called a Mahananda or Samohini. When it is still longer, it is called Akarshini. When it is even longer, it is called Anandini. The Anandini flute is very pleasing to the cowherd boys and is technically named Vamshuli. These flutes were sometimes bedecked with jewels. Sometimes they are made of marble and sometimes of hollow bamboo. When the flute is made of jewels, it is called Samohini. When it's made of gold, it's called Akarshini. Krishna's buffalo horn. Krishna used a buffalo horn as a bugling instrument. This instrument was always highly polished and circled with gold bands, and on the middle there was a hole. Regarding these instruments, there is a metaphorical statement about a gopi named Taravali. It is said that Taravali was bitten by the most venomous snake of Krishna's flute. Then, in order to neutralize this poisonous effect, she drank the milk produced by the buffalo horn in the hand of Krishna. But instead of decreasing the poisonous effect, it increased it 1,000 times. The gopi was thus put into the most miserable poisoned condition. The attraction of Krishna's leg bells. A certain gopi once stated to her friend, quote, "My dear friend, when I hear the sound of the leg bells of Sri Krishna, I immediately started to go out of the house to see him. But most regrettably, my superiors were present before me just at that time and I could not go out." End quote. Krishna's conch shell. Krishna's conch shell is known as Panchajanya. This Panchajanya conch is also mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna sounded it before the battle of Kurukshetra. It is said that when Lord Krishna blows on his transcendental conch shell, the wives of demons become subject to abortions, and the wives of the demigods become blessed with all auspiciousness. In this way, the sound of Krishna's conch shell used to vibrate and circulate all over the world. Krishna's footprints. It is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam that when Akura, who drove Krishna from Vrindavan to Mathura, saw the footprints of Krishna on the land of Vrindavan, his ecstatic love for Krishna increased so much that the hairs on his body stood up. His eyes became overflooded with tears, and in such ecstasy he jumped out of the chariot and fell down on the ground and began to chant, quote, "How wonderful this is! How wonderful this is!" End quote. Similar feelings were expressed by the gopis when they were going to the bank of the Jamuna and saw Krishna's footprints in the dust. When Krishna walked on the ground of Vrindavan, the marks of his soul, flag, thunderbolt, fish, and rod for controlling elephants and a lotus flower, would be imprinted upon the dust of the land. The gopis became overwhelmed simply at seeing those marks on the ground. Krishna's place of pastimes. One devotee exclaimed, quote, "Oh, I have not as yet visited the wonderful places where the pastimes of the Lord were performed, but simply by hearing the name of Mathura, I have become overwhelmed with joy." End quote. Krishna's favorite plant, tulsi. Krishna is very fond of the tulsi leaves and buds. Because tulsi buds are usually offered up to the lotus feet of Krishna, a devotee once prayed to the tulsi buds to give him some information about the lotus feet of the Lord. The devotee expected that the tulsi buds would know something about the glories of Lord Krishna's lotus feet. Krishna's devotees. One may sometimes become overwhelmed with joy upon seeing a devotee of the Lord. When Dhruva Maharaj saw two associates of Narayan approaching him, he immediately stood up out of sincere respect and devotion and remained before them with folded hands. But because of his ecstatic love, he could hardly offer them a proper reception. There is a statement by a gopi who addressed Subal, a friend of Krishna. Quote, "My dear Subal, I know that Krishna is your friend and that you always enjoy smiling and joking with him. The other day, I saw that you were both standing together. You were keeping your hand on Krishna's shoulder, and both of you were joyfully smiling. When I saw the two of you standing like that in the distance, my eyes at once became overflooded with tears." End quote. Special days for remembering Krishna. There are many statements about the festive days in connection with Krishna's different activities. One of these festive days is Janmashtami, the day of Krishna's birth. This Janmashtami day is the most opulent festival day for the devotees, and is still observed with great pomp in every Hindu house in India. Sometimes even the devotees of other religious groups take advantage of this auspicious day and enjoy the performance of the ceremony of Janmashtami. Ecstatic love for Krishna is also aroused on the days of Ekadasi, which are other festive days in connection with Krishna.